I want to welcome you to Parris Christian Center. I realize you could be at any church in this county, and you chose to be in Parris Christian Center, and I want to tell you thank you. And God is still God. God is still on the throne. God is still doing every miracle that you've ever seen Him do, and He's got a lot more miracles for you. So tap into who God is, because when you do that, you're going to tap into who He's made you. Amen. It's not about all the things that you've done. It's about what He's done. It's not about the mistakes that you've made. It's about the mistakes that He's covered over for you. So we don't dwell on the things that we're not proud of here. We just get them right. We get them under the blood, and we move on with our life, because at the end of the day, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to move on in power. He wants you to move on in victory, and He wants you to move on and be happy. And so that's what our goal is. I've been very blessed this year. This has been such a busy year. I've preached since I was 19 years old, and I'm 34 now. So all the people that's seen me since birth, you're probably feeling very old right about now. I've had a busy year, and I've had a blessed year this year. I was finally ordained as a certified licensed minister. That happened in February. In July, Jeremy and I took over the pastorship of this church, and y'all have been so kind to us. And I want to tell you thank you from the very bottom of our hearts. Thank you, because it's been an easy transition, and it's because of y'all. We've done 3 weddings, 2 child dedications, about 12 baptisms, and praise God, we have not had to do any funerals. Amen. That's been the best part of this year. No funerals. So I want y'all to stay healthy. I want you to stay blessed. And I want you to stay in the center of God's will, because that's the sweet spot. That's the spot where you want to be in. And today we have the awesome, awesome honor that closer to the end of this service, we're going to place somebody in an office of a church. If you've never seen that take place, it's just a moment in history that you want to be a part of, because we have looked at Brother Tommy for many, many years. It was something that my father always said, Kelly, Tommy's going to be one of our deacons. When the time is right, that man's going to be a deacon in this church. Brother Tommy, I could not talk better about a person than Brother Tommy. He is an awesome, awesome man of God. We are blessed to have him a part of this church. And so this morning I want to talk about what is the very heart of what a deacon is, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's being a servant. It's serving. Now, that's not just deacons. The very heart of who God is a giver, because you find that in John chapter 3 and 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave. When you really get in touch with who God wants you to be, what you'll do is you'll serve others before you'll serve yourself. If you don't know what growing over there to Christmas is about, let me tell you what it's about. It's about going to somebody who nobody's ever going to visit. Right, Shelley? There's a lot of them people, they don't get visits. They're lonely. It's about doing something for somebody else on Jesus' birthday, doing it in the name of Jesus. They can never pay us back, Dale. They can never pay us back. That's what it is to be a Christian. Don't tell me you're a Christian and sit in your seat and never serve somebody. I don't know what to call it, but it ain't a Christian. I'm just going to tell you. I'm not the pastor that will dance around certain subjects. Melissa, I will preach about it all, because that's just how it is. Don't tell me how saved you are and sit in that seat and do nothing. And no, I'm not going to apologize for that. Because look here, I'm here to get you to heaven. I'm here to get you saved. If I offend you on the way to heaven and you make it there, you better thank me when I get there. Glory. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. And it says, a generous man will prosper. It doesn't say somebody that's stingy. You're not going to find that in God's word. Stinginess is going to get you nowhere. And by the way, I am not talking about money. Just to clear the air, a generous man is going to prosper. Generous with what? Your time, your affections, your love. You're serving your church. You're serving your family. You're serving your job. A lot of people get up in a job. They get very cynical. They get irritated. They prayed for that job. Then they don't want to do the job. That is not of God. You be faithful with what God's given you. Why? Because He wants to give you something better. He wants to see if you're going to be faithful with what He already did. Many people are not. Don't be that way. Be faithful. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Look here. You stop somebody in their tracks. They're having a bad day. You say, you know what, in Jesus' name, I thank God for who you are, for who you've been in my life. You've touched my life, Sister Sally Sue. Thank you for all you've done. You know what Sally Sue's going to do? She's going to be refreshed. What is she going to do, Andy? She's going to turn around. She's going to refresh somebody else. Now, if I had to define what type of a person that Tommy Patterson was, that's what he does. That's what he's always done. He's always built other people up, and he's always loved people right where they're at. Now, if you don't want to hear me talk about Brother Tommy today, I don't know what to tell you, because today's Tommy's day. This is like Tommy's birthday in December. So he who refreshes others will be refreshed. Be that person. Be that person. You feeling bad about something? You irritated about something? I challenge you to stop feeling irritated and start feeling like you can make a difference in someone's life. Call somebody up till you start feeling better. If you've got to call 10 people to get yourself in a better mood, that's what you need to do. You need to text 10 people. If you ever see me texting you, it's probably because I'm in a horrible mood. I'll get that phone out and I'll just start texting people till I feel better. Most of the time I have to text everybody because when I have a bad day, it's just got all right bad. But do something about that. Be a doer of the word. Refresh somebody else. You want to be refreshed? You need a break? You need a whatever? Be that whatever. Amen? You guys are so agreeable today. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 45. And it says here, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." The heart of who Jesus Christ is serving people, serving something. See, whether you realize it or not, you're serving something. You can serve the Lord, you can serve the devil, and you can serve yourself. The world is full of people that they're serving themselves. They're serving what they want to do. They're serving themselves. Look here, those same people are always coming up short. Why? Because you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Once again, I'm going to reiterate, I ain't talking about money. You cannot give God enough of your time. You cannot give God enough of your love and affection. You cannot give God a big enough commitment. Jesus didn't come here to be served. He came to serve. And He did that. Everything that you see about Jesus Christ, it was Him being serving somebody. I didn't say that in proper English. Look here, I'm not the politically correct pastor, and I'm not the politically English pastor all the time. Now, I try. I don't nail it every time. And I'm from Arkansas. I'm from Arkansas to the point Alexa don't even know what I'm saying, okay? When I touch that Google and I say something, she always pulls something up wrong. And it's not her fault. It's my fault because I have an accent. I mean, I'll say, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese, and she'll be sending me to Chinese. I mean, you know. So that's just how that goes. But you know what? Know who you are. Be who you are. Be the best version of who you are. Somebody's depending on you. Somebody's depending on you being the best person that you can be. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 9. If God has taught me anything this year, It is what we're about to read right here. And I've had this wrong for 34 years. Can y'all tell me what you've had wrong for 34 years? Well, look here. That's probably why I'm up here. God found one blonde-headed pastor that'll just tell it like it is and not care. Doesn't really matter. What I've learned this year is this right here. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. It's easy to love someone when they're doing what you want them to do. Anybody can do that. And it's hard to love somebody when they're doing something you don't agree with, when they're doing something that you wouldn't do, when they're doing something that you say, let me tell you something. What I've learned this year is it doesn't really matter what my opinion is about a certain subject, because opinions are opinions. We've all got them. At the end of the day, they really don't amount to anything. That's why they call them opinions, not facts. See, sometimes we think opinions are facts, and you don't know everything about everybody. You don't know what they've been through. It's like a message Brother Sam just recently preached. Only God knows. See, when we want to put ourselves in the seat of judgment, where we want to judge somebody, look here, only God knows what that person's been through. Only God knows how that person feels. Only God knows how that person struggles. Only God knows what that person went through. We don't know. Therefore, love must be sincere. You're not going to win anybody for Jesus being fake. You're not going to win anybody for Jesus judging them. The world is full of judges. Be a Christian. Be a Christian. Be somebody that will love somebody no matter what. I used to think I was that till a lot of people in my life started doing things I absolutely did not like nor agree with. And God took me to a place where I said, you know what, God? You've never turned your back on me. You've never stopped loving me. And let me tell you, God, you and I both know I have pulled some real shenanigans. I mean, I pulled stuff I hope nobody ever finds out about. Because I wouldn't even like me if I completely knew what I did. So love's got to be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, and be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. You could call any of these deacons up, any of them, and they'd help you. Is that the truth? Raise your hands if the deacons of this church has helped you. Raise your hand if the deacons of this church has reached out to you. They have. Why? Because at the very heart of who they are, they like to serve people. They like to serve their church. I got news for you. There's a job in here for each and every last one of you. Why is that? Because if this is the church you're calling your church, you should be serving. I don't care if it's just getting the rug out. Doesn't matter how big or how small. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Look here. If you're going through something today, be patient. God is getting you through it. If you're hurting in here today, be patient. Call on God. Say, God, I'm hurting. God, my heart feels like it's going to just burst because I'm so sad. God, I love you, and God, I trust you, even though it's not looking how I want it to look. God, I know that you know the end from the beginning, and God, I thank you, God, that you're taking care of it. God, I thank you that this thing is not a permanent thing. God, this is temporary. You're bringing me through it. Look here, if you're walking in affliction today, God has got something better. God's got victory for you. I'm just telling you to be patient. Be patient. What you're going through is very temporary. It's going to last just a second. Look here, you'll get over it. You'll get through it. Look here, Aunt Sharon, it'll seem like, oh my gosh, was nothing. Look at what I got now. You ever had a problem like that? You go through something big, and once you get through it, it seemed smaller and smaller because you go on a little bit, and whatever you're going through there seems bigger than what you just got out of. If you're afflicted today, if you're going through a trial, be patient. Be patient in affliction. Some of the very best parts of my life as a daughter of God have been in the valley of affliction. And I didn't like one bit of it. I've had moments this year, Melissa, that have cut me so deep to the very core of who I am that God had to change some things in me. I've been walking through my kitchen and just grief hit me and me just fall to the floor and say, God, I need you right now. God, I can't go on one more minute if I don't think that you're in this with me because, God, I feel lonely. God, I feel abandoned. God, I feel like I'm the only one here left handling the bag. God, I need you. God, I don't know what to pray because, God, I'm weary. See, can you tell God you don't know what to pray? That's not a sin. You don't look at your Bible. It says, while we're sleeping, the Holy Spirit is instructing our heart even then. Why? Because God knows. Many times we don't even know what to pray. Many times. Why? Because we get so up in the thick of things, we can't see nothing besides the problem. But God sees it all. If you get stuck in a moment and you say, God, I'm so weary, I don't know what to pray. Say, God, tell me what to pray. Show me what to pray. Man, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Because he knows when we get to that point, we're so irritated or we're so hurt, we don't know what to pray. He knows to intercede. He knows. And it says here, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Look here, you should not just call on God's name when everything's going wrong. I want everybody that belongs to this church to not be that way. I want you to be very faithful in prayer because you need the practice. Because let me tell you something, when you get up in the middle of a life trial, God needs you to learn how to pray. He needs you to learn how to get into his presence and know that there's fullness of joy right there. To get into his presence and say, God, I don't know what to do with my family member. God, I don't know what to do with my husband. God, I don't know what to do with my wife. God, I don't know what to do with my family. But God, you know. God, you know. Because see, I don't know it all, God, but I know that you know, God, and I just give them to you. I don't take them back. I give them to you, God, but you got to be faithful in prayer. Many people only call on God's name when it's all going wrong. Look here, if you had a marriage like that, it probably don't work out because people like a relationship, not a one-sided ordeal. Yeah, I'm going to get to meddling. Here comes Kelly May. I see too much of this relationship nonsense. Oh, in a relationship, look here. That's like saying it's Sunday. You got that, didn't you? You need to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him who you should be in a relationship with. Because if you get with the wrong person, that's going to be your ministry. Praise God. My dad told me that one time. He said, Kelly, man, if you get with that nutbag, that's going to be all you do. Right, Brian? That's going to be all you do, Kelly. Because you're going to see, when you guys ain't around each other, you're going to be worrying about what he's doing. Look here. If you got to be with somebody and you worried when they ain't with you, baby, that's your sign. Don't look for red flags, man. That's like a big old thing when you're driving down the interstate and they're doing big old billboards. Ooh, don't be with that person. Man, you need to be able to go to Walmart and not be worrying about somebody. You need to be able to, even better yet, send them to Walmart and you not worrying about what they're doing. Yeah, we're still talking about deacons. I just got off on a rabbit trail. That's all part of it. Somebody need to hear that. Be patient in affliction. Share with God's people who are in need. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Many people don't even know the art of hospitality because they're not hospitable. That's why it says practice it. Practice it. Practice hospitality. Give to people that are in need. Give to people that are in need. A couple weeks ago, I heard of a child, and they didn't have any warm clothes. And it was about 9:30 when I heard that. Now, those of you that know me, I want to be in bed by about 8. I am not a night owl. I am not a night person. We're going to be up in bed. The only person that I know of that goes to bed sooner than I do is Mary McFarland, okay? But I like to be in bed. And when I heard that, I got my little keister up out of bed. Because, see, I can't sleep at night if I know that my kids have more than enough and somebody else's kids out there being cold. See, I don't like that. Why? Because it's not just about that my kids have more than enough. You know, I pulled out over 40 items out of my kids' closet. Now, I'm not up here bragging about me. I'm up here challenging you. Because look here, I can pull out 40 more. But I'm challenging you. Give to people in need. A lot of times people are in need of things that aren't even materialistic things. They're just in need of somebody saying, look here, it's going to get better. It's not always going to be this way. Look here, you got this. You got what it takes to do what you know is right. You on your way. A lot of what people need is just a kind word. Just a word of encouragement. Just a, you got this. You're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. God's going to get you through it. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Why is that? Well, because our payment value as humans is very off. Back to we don't know everything. A lot of times if we had the authority to repay everybody for what we thought they deserved, we would be off. Because see, what you think you know about somebody that you don't like or somebody you don't agree with, you really don't know nothing. See, you don't know what goes on when nobody else is around with that person. You don't know the other side of it. So that's why we can't go around repaying people because, see, with whatever you repay, with whatever you dish out, you're getting that back. That's what I've learned. You getting that back. You ever heard of regifting? That's what's happening. You're giving that little gift of judgment, you're going to get that back. It may come up more in your life than what you dished it out by the time it's done. So do not repay anyone for evil and be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Live at peace. I've had to learn this year to just live at peace. Which goes against every grain in my body. Why? Because I like to bicker with people. Can I get an amen? Who likes to bicker? Amen. Brother on the back row is going, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Look here, this is called a good hour of truth, where even the pastor will get up and tell all their dirty business, because if I can tell mine, then guess what? Y'all can all be a little bit more secure with y'all stuff. Amen. We all get in that bickering thing. Man, sometimes I'm on Facebook and I'm scrolling and I just want to say something so bad. And I'll even type it. And then I'll be like, look like I'm having a fit or something.
Glory to God.
I know you don't want me to send that, God. And then I'll erase it. Sometimes I'll go back to it and type it out again. Then I've got to erase it again. Why? Because God's teaching me my opinion doesn't really matter. It really doesn't in the big realm of it. Man, my opinion don't matter. Most of the time, when God can get me to doing what I'm supposed to do, which is just back up and shut up. Yeah, back up and shut up. We're going to have a message where we're talking about backing up and shutting up. When he gets me to doing that, I'm on my way. Because most of the time when I've shut my mouth and a little bit of time goes by, I am so glad I shut my mouth. Because the story plays out a little bit more and I realize, ooh, if I would have said that, that would have been totally wrong, totally off. So peace a lot of times depends on you. As far as it concerns you, live at peace. As far as it concerns you, live at peace. Now, I have not offended Mike and Stephanie. I just tell you, they shut up plenty. They have something to do. Man, when I was a preacher about a week into it, somebody just got up and walked out. And I thought, oh, my God, deacons find out if they're offended. They really wasn't. But it gets you paranoid. You think, man, I ain't even got to the meat of this message. Stick around. It's going to get better. But as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Live at peace. Sometimes that means allowing yourself to feel like somebody's gotten one over on you. Look here, Brother Alvin. Ain't nobody getting one over on you. Nobody. Sometimes things look like they are. God allows them to look that way for a season. It's just a season. God's had to tell me that many times, Kelly. This is a season. It's not this way. In reality, it is not even this way. Just be patient. Be patient in that trial. Because I'm dealing with that person. I'm dealing with them. You're going to have to just be patient. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 7 through 10. And it says here, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. It's not that he will not. It's that he cannot. That's a very big difference. God cannot be mocked. So God doesn't need our judgments. Because I've said a lot of times, Miss Deborah, I've said, what a mockery that person is doing to Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. What a mockery. Look here, God does not need my 2 cents, and he doesn't need anybody else's, because God cannot be mocked. It's not even a possibility. And a lot of times, once again, what we think about other people, we don't even know. We don't even begin to know what God's doing with them. He's bringing them to a place just like he's bringing you to a place. So God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we don't give up. I've watched Brother Tommy go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. I've watched him prosper and be in health. But look here, Brother Tommy, was it a process? Didn't happen overnight, did it? It's a process. It's a process. Life is a process. God is getting you where you need to be. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. No, let me just be good to the ones I like. Brother Ernie, I would have a better time with that. No, let us be good to all people. To all people. We don't like to be good to all people because, see, there's a controlling factor in humanity where we feel like if we're being good to people that don't like us or that we don't like, we feel like we're out of control. Like we're allowing them to get away with something because we're being nice to them instead of being hateful to them. There's some self-gratification in being hateful to people we don't like. Ain't it right? Thank you. Look here. My dislike for folks has gotten less and less because I realized at the end of the day, there ain't nobody that I want to see go to hell. There ain't anybody that I want to say, now God judge between them and I. Mm-mm. Man, I used to say that all the time. I used to be like, now God, you're just going to have to judge between us. Uh-uh. I don't want God's judgment. I don't want him having to judge me. I'm not even going to challenge him. I'm going to say, God, help me because I'm wrong. I did it. I'm the one that's got that wrong thought. Help me. Because God, you made me and you know I'm defected just a little bit. Got some hang-ups. Got some issues. Only God knows. Only God knows. So let us do good to all people. Let us do good to all people. I think this church has really grown this year because we've tapped into some things that we've just loved people right where they're at. The ability to just love somebody and not feel the need to put a two cents in makes you very powerful. You want power, you want authority, you want dominion. It starts out with you loving people. There's a blessing in loving people without casting a judgment. A lot of people say, I love them, but you know they ain't right. See, we got to step out of that. We've been doing good. We're great. To love somebody without that judgment puts you in a zone where God's going to bless you. Because after all, God's loved us that same way. He's loved us in a way that we did not deserve. And he's loved us past that. We have some of the best deacons, I think, in the whole world. Because I look back at all these years and they've all been there. People get offended. They leave. They do this, that, and the other. Look here. Don't think that my family and us pastors in the family, we ain't ever offended the deacons because you're wrong. Have we offended y'all? Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Mary and Ernie, have we offended y'all at times? Yes, we have. Brother Sam, you ever got offended? Let me tell you something. Iron sharpens iron. Sometimes you may get offended because you're wrong. Sometimes you get offended because that other person was wrong. An offense is an offense. You're not going to grow in Christ if you can never get over an offense. Amen. When I say these deacons have been there, they've been there. They've been there through the thick. They've been there through the thin. You don't appoint deacons lightly because you have to have somebody that's going to be there on an off day where you have offended them. You don't have this type of personality without offending somebody. I don't even do it on purpose. Now, Mama Brenda, she's used to wipe my rear when I was in diapers. She would just tell me, look here, you have offended me, you little heifer. She's called me that before. That's the only reason I say that. And I say, well, I'm sorry. See, you got to learn how to dwell with people. You got to learn how to love people when you don't agree with them. Love them when you do agree with them. Your love shouldn't be based on whether you agree with somebody or not. That's what this year has taught me. Love people irregardless. See, you don't know it all. You don't know what that person's been through. When you think you know, think again. You don't know. You don't know. There's always something we don't know. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, and not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. We didn't just come up with this overnight. This has been something years in the making. You don't just get people in there and make them deacons. Why? Well, because when you do that, it's like an eight ball. You never know what you're going to get. When somebody sticks around, Brother Tommy, you ever heard anything negative about us? Many times. It was all lies. Brother Tommy has never let that affect his coming to church. Look here. Every time I've ever moved, he's helped me move. Every time I've ever been in a moment where I said, I need somebody to agree with me in prayer. See, when you think that somebody's really agreeing with you in prayer, see, be careful who you get to agree with you in prayer, because you could get somebody, they ain't agreeing with you. Amen. I've called him and I've talked to him. He's been very, I mean, Brother Tommy is one of the best men that I know. Amen. This has been something years in the making. Amen. We've had a year of transition. We've had a year of change. Change, I've found, isn't bad. Change is just something that God brings along because it's time. It's time. And Brother Tommy is worthy of respect. He is sincere. And to the best of my knowledge, he does not indulge in a bunch of wine. Look here, I don't live with him. I don't know. I'm just gathering. I've never seen him hungover up in here. Now, don't misinterpret that. I'm not the pastor that thinks you're dying and going to hell if you drink a glass of wine, because I don't. Okay? Look here. There's a lot weightier matters than getting up into personal drinking wine business. Glory. Somebody stopped me in Dollar Tree. People do some things to you, and you got to learn how to take some things. I was in the dollar store. I won't mention names. I came up in there. I had no makeup on. I looked terrible. Somebody goes, Pastor Kelly. And everybody turned around. I'm going to go get me some margaritas down at El Perion. Everybody was looking at me. I said, baby, go get you that margarita. Now look here. You don't think people saying, what is that pastor doing, telling them to go get margaritas? Look here, I don't care. I'm not the pastor that is such a hypocrite that thinks drinking a margarita is going to send you to hell. I didn't mention your name, honey. But see, we can get very religious. See, there's a spirit of religion that likes to come up into churches and get people to nitpicking each other. That won't happen here, because, look here, that ain't how this place is. We ain't going to have it. I don't see it in God's Word. Amen? Last place for me, 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. Now, if you don't hear anything that I've said this morning, hear this. The end of all things is near. How many of you know Jesus is coming back?
Amen.
He is. He's coming back, and I'm telling you, he's coming back. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. So that you can pray. Get your mind clear, because God wants to help you. He wants to show you exactly what to pray so that you can pray. So that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. I've heard a lot of people be like, well, I had somebody say this to me lately. Well, the Bible does say love covers all sins, but it doesn't mean that one, because that one needs to be exposed. And I said, you need to read that again. Because my Bible says love covers over a multitude of sins. You really want to be a child of God? You cover somebody instead of exposing them all the time. Love them. Love them. Love them past what you don't agree with. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins, and offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Brother Tommy has used his gifts in Parish Christian Center for over 20 years. Over 20 years. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. I've seen my deacons struggle at times. I've seen them have bad days at times. I've seen them go through things at times. But I want to tell you something. At the end of the day, they've always served with the strength that God gave them. God will not call you to do something and not give you the strength to do it.
Amen.
God will give you the strength to do it. Problem is, most people don't want to do anything. Right now, I'm going to ask Brother Tommy to come up here. I'm going to ask Brother Charles, Pastor Jeremy, Brother Ernie, Brother Angelo, Mary, and Brenda Jackson. Now, please, people, take some pictures, because I would like a good picture of this. This is history in the making. Everybody, get you some oil. Now, a good pastor knows that life ain't all about them. It's not just Jeremy and I placing someone in an office of the church. It's all of us. It's these leaders up here. See, these are the people that have done this since I was a baby. And they've served their church well. Y'all get in here. Brother Ernie, I want you to pray for him. Brother Sam, pray.
God, I ask you to put everything he needs in these hands, Father God, that they're service for you. Every financial need, Father God, I thank you that you're releasing debt free that's on Tommy, Father God. You're
Charles. Y'all stretch your hands up here because, see, this is y'all's deacon. This is God's deacon. Lord God, I thank you for Brother Tommy. Lord, I thank you for everything, God, that you've equipped him to be the newest deacon of Parish Christian Center. God, right now we all place him in office right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing out of Tommy, every good and perfect work, God, that you're going to do out of him, Lord. God, I thank you, God, that you've added years to his life. God, happy years, God, to serve you and to serve his church. And God, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God is so good. He's so good to his kids. Isn't he good? I'm going to ask y'all to come tonight and help your church. Now, don't be running off. I'm going to ask y'all to come and help us tonight to fill those goodie bags for the nursing home. That's a task. It usually takes about 10 to 20 minutes, but we need your help. I'm going to ask you, if you can at all possible, come and help us. Isn't God good? God is so good. Brother Tommy, we are so blessed to have you. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like our newest deacon of Parish Christian Center to say the blessing over us and dismiss this service.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God, for this time of worship and to be in your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you are doing awesome, mighty things, Father, that we will all see 2020 vision. We will all see 2020 vision this next year, and we'll be more mature in the Lord than we ever have been before. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. Bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.